I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the site manager at Second City Hockey. You can find me on Twitter at dmelt57. We're back after a one-week hiatus. I unfortunately do not have a British accent. I guess 7 days overseas isn't enough to develop one. But I've assembled all my line mates this evening to talk about, obviously, the Blackhawks trade deadline and then whatever the hell's going to happen over the last month of the season. So let's bring them all in right now. Up first, the analytics darling of Second City Hockey. You can find on Twitter at Shepherd Price. It's Shepherd Price.
Hi. I don't want to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights. I do want to talk about the Hangman Dark Order roasting session.
If you're going to keep saying, you said in our pre-show that you didn't want to talk about the Vegas
Golden Knights. Yes, this is now the show.
But
no, it's the show.
Like,
that was before. That wasn't recorded.
I do want
to talk about the Hangman Dark Order roasting session.
But maybe I want to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights. What if...
the Senators screwed up. The Golden Knights should have checked in with the agent. And besides that, the NHL needs to make a central registry. They can't keep using cap friendly unless players are going to start telling cap friendly which 10 teams are on their no trade list. We can't keep using cap friendly as the source. Like, GMs are using it as official sources. You can't do that.
Someone just needs to send a letter to Gary Bettman. Just pay cap friendly to do it in an official capacity. Because it already is. It's the fact that other NHL GMs are using it. Anybody that writes at any level about hockey uses it. Just make the damn thing official.
Give the people their
money. I don't know who runs cap friendly. Like, pay them. Pay the people.
There's like videos of the roads to the 24/7 thing that was on Showtime for a while. That was showed like the front people in front offices, like official people, like assistant general managers with cap friendly open on their computers. Just make it an official source. The guy was hired to help Vegas in that expansion draft. It's very clearly like the league has a lot of respect for it. Just make it official and then start telling them, make players tell them what their no trade list is, so that teams can make it and can access it easier and be like, oh, we can't trade Dad enough to the Ducks because he's got him on the no trade list. We can trade him and a second round pick to Chicago.
All right.
Which is what should happen.
But we don't want to talk about Vegas.
No.
Well, then on that note, we'll keep moving along and bring in the next member of the crew with us this evening. He is the Second City Hockey One. Matthew Davies Cray is to Funeral for a Friend. You can find him on Twitter at Mill182. It's Mill Savage.
I want to talk about Vegas.
Like, wait, the city or the hockey team?
The hockey team.
Well, here's your chance.
Yeah, we deserve it. We're too hurt. Wow. And
you could join the Hawks and the Bears, and the Bulls are getting sliced right now, and they're just another Chicago team.
They are very similar, and you know what the problem is? They had expectations this season. I have a team that doesn't have any expectations. See, their name is the Detroit Lions. I don't want to lose in hockey.
I don't have any personal contempt for Vegas fans, but it gets like unnerving when a lot of people who clearly weren't not talking about you, Shay, because I didn't know you when this happened, when they all jump ship, and then it's like, oh, a few years later, we have Robin Leonard who talks so much shit, and we're just going to trade Marc-Andre Fleury, who's like the joy of the world, and not tell him we're trading him. And it's kind of like, you know what? You get what you deserve.
We do have sort of like a very like we are business focused.
Yeah, the Hawks.
In comparison, the Hawks like flew out to talk to Fleury, like after he got traded, they like flew out there and talked to him. And then Minnesota like stepped it up and was like, "We're gonna personally send a jet to pick you up in time for our game." They're like, "Nobody's gonna mistreat Flower."
Yeah, and I'm not defending the Hawks on how they've treated their players. I don't even want to go there. But it's kind of like, hey, you have one of the greatest goalies of all time, and if you should at least talk to him about that before just sending him to the team who's like the cesspool of the league at the time.
Yeah.
Jeez. So, anyways, that's all I got.
Well, you've already heard her voice, so let's introduce her as well, because she is Second City Hockey's Boolean Wall of Text. You can't find her on Twitter, but she's at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR. It's Betsy.
Well, speaking of other hockey teams, not Vegas, but
thank you.
should I go to an LA Kings game? And I'm going to be in LA sometime in April. I think they're playing the Blackhawks during my trip. Should I go see the Blackhawks get beat by the LA Kings? Because LA is one of those weird teams that is playing well, but I don't know if they're actually any good.
I would tell you to go to the stadium regardless, just because, you know, go see a hockey game in another stadium. And
I've seen the Kings play before.
Oh.
I've done all the California teams before,
but I think I messaged Mill about this. I think I'm going to go see the Hawks on Monday against the Sabres. I just want to go see a hockey game. So if you're in LA and you just want to go see a hockey game, even maybe you'll get the 7-5 version of the Blackhawks when they're out there.
Dave, we should talk about that because the Wolves are having $2 beer night.
Oh boy.
I think I could get tickets through work. So.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's
a no-brainer.
Yeah,
can you enter the NHL?
How do I get these? So, because I mentioned it to somebody that works in our Burbank offices, and they're like, well, you know, the company. And I was like, all right, I'm going to need you to explain all of this to me.
You got to go to the crypto now, the crypt, not Staples Center.
When you went to the game in LA before, like, are Kings tickets expensive? Like, because I assume everything in LA is expensive, but I also assume hockey's not exactly the big ticket item in LA.
I didn't pay for tickets for that to anything when I went to California. I went with a friend's family, like it was a family trip, and they went all up and down the coast, and I talked them into, hey, it would be really cool if we went to like hockey games, because two of their sons were like really into hockey. And I was like, it'd be neat to just go to all of them as we're traveling. And that worked.
There you go.
They were like, since I was traveling with them and I was, they were like, yes, sure. The friend that I was with, we were pretty much like glorified babysitters. So.
Well, you're going to be in LA. There's a Hawks game while you're out there, and you might be able to go on the company dime. Like I don't hear a reason to not go to this game. So
no.
Yeah. And it's been since I was in college since I went. So
it's probably a completely different stadium.
Yeah.
I will say this too. I don't think sports in general are the highest ticket item in LA. I don't think, like, besides the Galaxy and maybe LAFC, I don't think they really care about sports.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now. Blackhawks at Kings starts at $20 on StubHub.
All right. Yeah. That sounds about right. Hey, what about Hawks Sabres on Monday in Chicago?
It was at 12 before Fleury got traded. Because I was thinking, Dave, if we want to go, this is the funny part. Okay, so I looked in the section that I used to go in all the time, and like where we had seasons, the face value for that was like 77, and they're selling them for 12. So people aren't making any money; they're losing a ton of money.
Oh, I bet.
But for us to park, it would cost as much as the two tickets.
Well, there we go.
We might be able to get free tickets.
Just wait till the hour before.
You know what? We'll be giving them. You know what? We should just offer some company, like, hey, like, we'll write an article and feature you, and we'll just give us two tickets.
All right. I'll have my people get in touch with your people. We'll figure out if we can make that happen.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but anyways, yeah, it's pretty cheap. The Kings are only hot when they're like awesome.
Yeah, the Blackhawks are going to continue to drop because they're not going to win another game this season.
Oh man, what
hot take?
What ticketing system do they use on? Like, never mind. I'm going to go away. I was just going to look on not StubHub
on Ticketmaster
or Ticketmaster. Like, I just went through the King site and it took me to like, I didn't like that.
Well, then I thought I heard a police siren in the background. So what website?
I live in downtown St. Louis. You don't think there's police sirens?
Okay.
Yeah, I just like going on StubHub when I'm gauging stuff because it gives you an idea of what the street value is.
Yeah, and I was figuring, well, I don't know if I actually can get company tickets, like supposedly maybe. So that was going to be my backup plan. I was like, I could go spend like maybe $50 for not great seats but be fine with them.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can, but hockey, like, you could sit upstairs and it's usually good because you could see
that's what I was gonna look in the 200.
Yeah, it's not like when you go see the like basketball and you're like, you feel like you can't see because it's so much smaller than the ice surface and slower.
Well, hey, speaking of hockey, well, actually, we're not going to talk about hockey because we're going to talk about entirely off-ice stuff. But the Blackhawks, the NHL's trade deadline was on Monday at 2:00 Central Time. The Blackhawks got busy well before the deadline showed up, trading Brandon Hagel to Tampa on Friday. And then on Monday, they traded Marc-Andre Fleury to Minnesota. And then they traded Ryan Carpenter to Calgary. Got some stuff in return for all of those trades. And that's the main thing we have gathered here today to discuss. So without really, I don't really think we need much more of a prologue than that. I think I can just throw it right over to Betsy because she had plenty of thoughts and wrote a well thought out analysis. That's the word I'm looking for. Analysis. I almost said analyzation, and that's not a word. But analysis of the Brandon Hagel trade. And for those who missed it, I figured we could get through a quick recap of that article and then go from there. So Betsy, the floor is yours.
Yeah. In the article, I tried really hard to look at it from both sides because there were people that like loved it and hated it. And not a lot of people in the middle at the time of writing it. Like, it was like straight down the middle. There were people that were like, this is a great haul. And there were people like, you've just traded a Hall of Famer.
That's so, what the H in Hagel stands for.
It's funny because it's true that people were saying that.
And I love Hagel, okay? I really do. I was like, those Shaw types and I love Kruger and I like Boland and I like these role players that are there for a utility and they do it so well. I like those types of players a lot and they often become fan favorites. And I get it. Hagel's really young. You think that's the type of player you should build around. And I don't agree that you build around that type of player, but I think he is good and useful in a rebuild. However, there is merit to, this is probably the highest Brandon Hagel's value will ever be with the Blackhawks. And I put that caveat with the Blackhawks because Brandon Hagel is shooting at 22%. And there were a lot of people that were like, he could score this many goals again next year just by increasing his shots. I was like, I mean, technically, that's correct. But with the Blackhawks, who do not possess the puck, very unlikely. Okay, so with the Lightning, I actually think he could hit 20 goals again. They shoot a lot, and he shot a lot in their first game with them. So it's possible. I just don't think a player on the Blackhawks with a lower shooting ability can score that many goals, like on the Blackhawks. That's just, it's hard to see it happening. And while Hagel is a really good playmaker, I just don't know if it could offset point wise. So him being at almost seven, like 0.7 PPGs at like 0.67 or 6.8, that might be the best he could ever be on the Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like this is his season. This is Kubalik's season, rookie season, you know, like it's the year they break out and they might not ever on the Blackhawks again, on the Blackhawks. So trading him now and getting something, not a bad idea. And the something wasn't bad, you know, like people were really, and I, for one, everybody knows my feelings on late first round picks. I don't think they're that valuable. I think they're useful, but I don't think you should trade. I don't think they negate the usefulness of a young player. So if it had just been the picks, I would have been like womp womp on this whole thing. But two of them, that is a little bit nicer. And then you trade in two young players. I know they're the same age as Hagel, but I like them. Okay. I don't know if they will be better than Hagel. I don't know if they will ever even reach potential. I've liked what I've seen, but the value package is pretty on par with what Hagel could provide in terms of usefulness on paper to the Blackhawks in the future. So I'm less upset about the trade than I thought I would be. I was mad when it was just picks in the comments. And pet peeve, I know it's really unlikely that the Lightning will ever finish, you know, bottom 10 in the league next year, but how annoying is that condition that they're top 10 protected? Like, fuck off with that.
Yeah. The one follow-up I want to ask you before I swing it around to the other two is, you mentioned the part about my mind just went completely blank about all of this. Oh, it was related to timing. Like that one, like the timing with a lot of the Blackhawks trades in the past, the trades that they did or did not make, seems like timing was always off. Like they waited too long to trade Gustafson. They probably traded Panarin too early. They traded several other guys, you know.
Yeah.
Traded Saad seven times.
Yeah. There's other young guys that they traded before they became really good. So it seems like this, in terms of timing, as you kind of talked about there, is that the timing is probably the best for this deal. The combination of how well Hagel's played this season and the fact that he's under contract for two more seasons at an incredibly affordable $1.5 million, which is very important for a team like Tampa that is paying all kinds of stars, all kinds of money. They need that cap certainty. Like, this might have been the best timing.
Because you're right. I mean, it's the pet peeve that people have, like, I can't use the phrase, but like, perfect example is like, Bowman really didn't want to trade Letty. He wanted to try to find how to trade someone else so he could keep Letty and Oduya. And he made the right decision by when push came to shove, he traded Letty and kept Oduya. Cause I don't think they would have won if that had been reversed, but, they got nothing for Letty, and he was a good, because every team in the league knew they had to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. Bickle stayed a year too long. Like, they should have traded. I know why he wanted to keep him, because they wanted him for the playoff push. But, and again, I do not blame Bowman for not knowing about Bickle's MS, but it was, his contract was built so that they could trade him with a couple of years left so teams would want him. And he just held on to him for 1 year too long. Everything happened and it cost him Teravainen. So, and then, yes, Saad is a Saad. There was no reason to trade him the first time. Bowman just balked at an offer sheet maybe coming, and it was like a grow a pair.
Exactly. Pissed on his leg on that one.
Like, I keep looking at like the Kurashev situation. Like, if they could sign Kurashev to a bridge deal under $5 million, then the Blackhawks could have pressured Saad into taking less than six. They didn't actually need him to take less than six. They could have fit him under their fine if they had traded Bickle the year before. But either way, it was all of his big trades, all of Bowman's big trades were poor timing. So I'm hoping that this was a good one. It is hard to gauge right now because it's so soon. We don't know. Will Hagel explode? We don't know. Will the acquired players do well? We don't know. And then what will those first round picks I mean, they're low probability, but who knows? You could find, you know, a Pastrnak or something like that. Those guys came later, or trade up for them, or trade for 2 seconds, like high seconds that are slightly more valuable together. I don't know.
There's options. Like there's things. Yeah, there's the book is still very much open on the story. It can go.
Yes.
It can end up being a positive thing for both teams. The two things I want to follow up on really quick before I bring Shay in is, first off, you mentioned Nick Leddy, and I saw when he got traded on Monday that he is now 31 years old, and that made me feel quite ancient because I thought Nick Leddy was still 19. And the other thing about the trade itself with Brandon Hagel is that the fact that Kyle Davidson was shrewd enough to trade away a fan favorite seems like such a step away from what the Hawks have done for the last 5 to 10 years, where if a move was it seemed like they wouldn't make a move that was unpopular because they didn't want to anger fans. But Kyle Davidson made the move that seemed that in his mind makes the team better. And certainly there is an argument to be made that it will make the team better in the long run.
Except, of course, the Panarin and Johnmerson case.
Okay.
Well, that's
fair.
That's when his hand was forced by cap, though. Like, he waited until he had to trade him.
No. Panarin had another year at $6 million.
No, in his mind, I meant.
I mean, yeah, but his mind was wrong.
it was wrong. I agree with you, but I'm just saying, like, he didn't want to do it. Like, he's just like, oh, I'm fucked.
I think Bowman wanted to do it. I think he want, like, Johnmerson maybe, but I think he wanted to trade Panarin because he wanted Saad back because of all the defensive issues. There was that whole tangent of people that were like, yeah, Kane and Panarin can score a fuck ton, but there's no defensive players on the team really.
Yeah, anymore. I'm one of those people. So Panarin was a toy. Yeah.
Well, and I'm fine with that idea. I just,
you the trade was bad. Trade, yeah.
You can't, you can't get bad return.
I agree with you. I just mean Bowman, you know.
There's already been more Stan Bowman talk than I wanted on this. So let's bring in Shay real quick and get this conversation away from Stan Bowman. Shay, go ahead.
My favorite father is a theory that Russians can't win in the playoffs, and a little bit disproven by.
Where was he in the 90s?
Maybe Stan Bowman also subscribed to that theory. I differ from Betsy in that I would be fucking better off with this trade if it was just the picks, because I still don't want these young players. They would be fine. They gave up 4th round picks for them. You gave up additional picks when we're trying to rebuild. You gave up additional picks. And I think Brisebois is smarter than Davidson and realizes late firsts and 4th round picks are not that different. They're both flyers. You know who's been drafted in like 2nd, 3rd, 4th rounds? A lot of Tampa Bay's roster. Why did Davidson give up picks in a trade where he's already trading a young player? That makes no sense to me. And like, sure, could Radish be something? Yeah, I remember when the Blackhawks signed his brother trying to recruit Taylor Radish. That was a wild time.
I initially thought that was who they acquired. Was that
Darren Radish?
I forgot that it was a different Radish.
Different Radish. Yeah.
Sorry.
So like, it seems like the Blackhawks have been obsessed with like Radish for a while. There's better vegetables.
I hate all these food puns already, but no,
Hagel's been really good this season. Like his expected WAR and his WAR are very similar. Like he's getting the results he's earned, really. At the same time, like Betsy's right. This is like the highest his value is ever going to be for the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks are going into a rebuilding period where like young players might be great, but like by the time the Blackhawks are contentious again, Hagel will be 28, 29. Like past his peak, like
you saying I'm past my peak.
Yeah, I am. I'm saying physically and in terms of anything but like distance running, because like I want to run Badwater, which is 135 miles, and a lot of people who run that are either 40 or 50. Oh. So besides distance running, yeah, you're kind of past your peak.
I'm lifting the most I ever could in my life.
Does it change your opinion that I don't think Radish or oh my God, I'm
Kachuk.
Yeah.
It's
Boris.
I was going to say, and Boris's name. My thing is, I don't even know if they're going to be here in the Blackhawks. I'm okay with the Blackhawks taking them, maybe switching, like getting the best out of them and then flipping them for a return too.
Yeah. If they drive up that value, I see it, but like they need to drive up that value.
Also, if you look, I'm the biggest hater on late first round picks. You can't take that away from me. But if you look at like their war value, like if you look at like Dom's like model and how the difference is, like there is a big enough difference that getting two first round picks for two fourth round picks is a good enough trade value, even though, yes, I understand they are both still flyers. So it's still like a low probability for both of them, but it is a high enough difference that I would do that. Cause I'm okay with that. The second one helps because quantity is a nice option. But it all depends on how well each team drafts, because even the Lightning's GM is not who drafted most of the third and fourth round picks.
Oh, was it?
But was it Dan?
He was
in the front office that helped. No,
sure, but that's
no. I know. Yeah. That's just it's funny. I wonder if Tampa fans are going to have that argument about whether, you know, the Dale Talon's Dan Bowman argument that they have in Chicago all the time.
I think they for sure do.
Yeah, but
that like is this Steve Yzerman's team?
I'll say that I was excited when King said that Cooper. Like John Cooper told him that he liked that he saw Radish as like a middle six, like second line type player.
Yeah, that's a good endorsement.
Yeah, I'll take that. I mean, I don't know if it's true, but again, I hope it works out. That's my whole thing. I'm okay with it. A little bit.
Before we like start like actually like overvaluing picks, we need to see how the Blackhawks brand new front office. Yes. This will be their first draft. We need to see how they draft.
I'm glad you said that, Shay, because that's exactly kind of that's the point I was getting ready to make. Is that like I feel like, you know, pick the difference between picking first and fourth is late first round or fourth round may not be a massive gap, but I think the thing that's going to be most important for this team over the next 3 to 4 years, as they do whatever the hell this rebuild is going to be, you're just not going to have enough first round picks. You have to hit on some second and third and fourth and fifth rounders. You have to. That's how the Hawks made their team initially. That's how Tampa made their team that they're using right now to win every Stanley Cup. That's how all these teams do this. You can't build a team just out of first round top five picks. It doesn't work that way. You need a lot more players than that. So yeah, the overall picture is going to be more important than just the one, you know, just these one picks. But it would have been great to get in the top 10 too. But you know, when you're trading with playoff contending teams at the deadline, most of those teams aren't going to be picking in the top 15 anyway, because that's why they're in the playoffs.
Yep.
So.
And you hope to win the lottery this year anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, there is still that possibility, although I've seen a lot of people maintain that you don't want to win the lottery this year anyway, because you want to lose the Seth Jones first round pick or the
this year
in that trade, because next year's draft class is better.
It's better.
Unless
you're getting Shane Wright. Yeah.
And I still think even that goes back to the point of I'd rather have a scouting department that is able to draft to identify talent and develop it than pick in the top five anytime. I think there's more to be said for the way you can identify and develop talent than just, you know, being able to pick in the top five every year. Cause that usually means your team sucks.
Yeah. But at the same time, the best two Blackhawks players since what, the '70s when,
well,
why am I blanking on his name? When Makita retired, were both top five picks.
What about Duncan Keith, though?
Yes.
So that's it. And then Alex to break it right now. So it's just I think it's like, you know, it gets a little bit into the chicken and the egg argument, but it's there. Like, ideally, you get both, obviously. But, you know, sometimes for me personally, if I had to have one, I'd rather have the ability to a good scouting department and a good player development program than necessarily a top five pick. Just ask Connor McDavid. Well, I was going to bring Millen because we haven't heard from him yet. Well, actually we did hear from him a little bit, but we have two more trades to talk about. Well, one trade that we're definitely going to talk about, another trade we'll probably briefly touch on because there's really not much else to say about it. And then we're probably going to talk about a few trades that didn't happen. because I think that is also an interesting part of what happened on Monday's trade deadline. But before we do all that, we're going to take a quick timeout and come back, catch our breaths a little bit, and then we're going to do all of that. So come on back on the other side of this break for all of that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison. And as promised before the break, we wanted to dive into a few of the other trades that happened, but we also realized we didn't really let Mill give his Brandon Hagel trade thoughts. So Mill, if you wanted to take those really quick, here's your chance.
Yeah. I mean, I back what Shay and Betsy have said. I'm just going to add a couple of quick points. First of all, in this market, what the Hawks got for Hagel was pretty, like, it was pretty good when you compare what people are getting traded for. So I know a lot of people are upset about, as Hawks fans, like, oh, well, this won't pan out or whatever. I'm like, well, they're trying, you know, they're getting what they can. It's not like they got robbed in the current market. And if the guys they pick don't work out, then maybe it was a bad trade. However, I just wanted to throw out there, when you're trying to rebuild, you have to build a core, and that might come from guys like Taves and Kane, who are no brainer, number one and number three. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Seabrook was 14 overall. Duncan Keith was second round, and then other guys like Hammers fourth round. But then you pick up guys like Sharp, who was traded for Matt Ellison, or Hossa, who was a free agent. I was really upset when the Hawks let go of Marty Havlat and Nikolai Haviboulin. No, seriously, I had both their jerseys, and they were really crucial in those 08-09 that run until Haviboulin got hurt.
Yeah.
Well, both of them got hurt because Martin Havlat got fucking killed by Nicholas Cronwell.
Yes,
Sky Point. But those were like my guys, you know. I had both of their jerseys hanging up in the closet, and they weren't part of that core ultimately. And you have to build that nucleus, and then add around it. Mm-hmm. And the thing about a guy like Brandon Hagel is, like, Betsy said it best when it's like, he may never ever have this trade value on the Hawks again. Mm-hmm. So I just think that they probably took offers on what they thought were going to be the best deal. And I do like that at very least this Davidson guy said, hey, like, he basically said, I'm not fucking around. Like, we have to get this ship straightened out.
Yeah. And I think Davidson said in one of his media sessions after the trades, something along the lines of, like, they weren't actively shopping Hagel, but they were willing to listen to offers, and Tampa called with an offer that he thought was really, really good. And so they took it. Like, and I think the ability to, you know, like, adapt on the fly, I guess, and just, you know, the ability to recognize a good deal in front of him and take it when it's offered, even, like I said earlier, that it may not be popular. Like, I think that's a good sign for, that's at least a positive thing for, you know, the Davidson tenure as a GM.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm not trying to use the old Hawks teams as examples all the time because it's a different situation a little bit, but it's a good way for fans to understand, like, what we're talking about here.
Yeah. And well, it's just you know what how it looks when it's a foundation for a really, really good hockey team can be built. So there's a pretty good example for that with the team before.
Yeah, and it's like, if it does pan out that they become a long-term competitive team who's a contender and a playoff team every year, I'd much rather have that than watch Brandon Hagel score 21 goals on, like, a terrible team.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, let's just be honest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know, the last five seasons have not been much fun. So if this is what it takes to ultimately get them out of the rut they've been in for several seasons, you know, this is what we got to do.
Also, Taylor Radish is the GOAT.
Hey, you know what? The Gaudette gang died, but, you know, with Radish wearing number 11, we might have to find a name for it.
I'll come up with something.
Yeah, the Radish patch. There it is.
Oh, that's whack.
No. Oh.
You just hurt Dave's heart.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dave. That's we gotta come up with something harder than that.
It's close. Whack. Is there, man. What?
All right. Well, Mill, I guess we'll let you talk about Marc-Andre Fleury's trade now. Go.
You want me to start with that?
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm going to go cry in the corner.
I'm sorry, dude. I did not mean to hurt your feelings. Marc-Andre Fleury, the fact that they traded him and got a pick and it could possibly turn into a first round pick, that's pretty awesome because you'd rather get something than nothing. And he does not deserve to be on a team that's not in the playoffs.
Short and sweet. Loved it. Shay, what about you?
If it's not the Penguins, I'm glad he went to a team that he was willing to go to, and I'm glad the Blackhawks got something for him. He's going to go to the playoffs. Hopefully he gets them to the third round.
Yeah, gets them to the third round, and he also has to win at least four of those games. I
think he's going to win a lot. If he's gonna, well, he gets yeah. them,
I mean, I assume there, he's going to get them. They keep saying like it's. I believe Minnesota's been saying it's going to be a platoon with him and Talbot, but
yeah, right.
I mean, yeah, exactly. But like, I don't know how long they can keep telling themselves that because I
Cam Talbot fucking sucks compared to Marc-Andre Fleury.
Okay, yeah, I was trying to be, I guess, more polite, but you're not incorrect with what you said either. So
sorry, he's not going to listen to this.
No, he won't.
Come at me, bro.
Betsy, what about you?
Just missed all of that because my internet went out. So,
oh,
you're lucky.
Cam Talbot sucks, is what we were talking about.
Oh, no. I mean, that's
true. No, but no, the Marc-Andre Fleury trade is why we were on the subject of Cam Talbot. But
I mean, that's an accurate. I can't remember who it was that retweeted it about how the there are four teams that are in playoff positions that have a below. Goal saved above average, and a bunch of other numbers that were like sub league average by like a decent margin. And only one of them tried to get a goalie, and that was Minnesota. Because Cam Talbot has been bad all season. So I'm glad Fleury's going somewhere. He's comfortable.
Wait, Betsy, are Toronto not below league average in goaltending?
Yeah, they were one of the four.
They tried to get Fleury.
It was Edmonton, Toronto, Minnesota, and I can't remember. Who was the other?
Because their dorky GM's all pissed off that Davidson leaked that.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up.
Kyle Fright.
Yeah, that is the most ridiculous. I think Betsy made the point that like Darren Drager's the one that reported this leak, so it probably came from Toronto because Darren Drager's really tapped in with Toronto.
And their media is a circus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, honestly, yes, Darren Dreger, if he's going to leak anything, it's going to be from a Toronto source. Like, come on. Yeah. But two, even if Davidson and the Blackhawks did leak it, good for them, because that's how you drive up prices. You go, hey, this team wouldn't give us a first and a bunch of prospects. Who will, what's up? This is our asking price. What does anybody want for Hagel and Fleury? And the Lightning were like, yeah, do you want two firsts and some players? Okay. So, yeah. I mean.
Clearly, Kyle Dubas didn't watch those episodes of Letterkenny because you got a dicker. So that's how this whole thing works.
Yeah. Now, not to defend Kyle Dubas, but like fucking wow. Marc-Andre Fleury did not want to go to Canada because of the restrictions with his children, which I respect a lot. And that makes sense because that Toronto with him would be a lot better.
Of course. And it's interesting to me because they didn't even, the report was that they hadn't even gotten to the point of asking Fleury about Canada at that point because Toronto wasn't willing to give up anything. They really just wanted to like throw like a third at them and, you know, like, come on, at least give it like what Minnesota gave was a good compromise. They don't want to give up a first, but a second is fine. And a second is, a first is fine if you can make it far. You know, like everybody hated the, oh my God, defender who we got in 2015, whose name, why am I blanking on the Finnish dad of
Timo Timonen.
Yes.
Timonen.
He's like hockey dad. Yeah. I mean, they gave up, they technically, those were conditional picks, but because they won the Stanley Cup, they ended up giving up 2 seconds, I think. You're like, that sucks. But they also won a cup. And I'm not totally sure with how slim a margin that playoffs was, especially against the Ducks, that you can say definitively they could have won without him. I know you want to, but again, really slim
Yeah. It feels like if Minnesota goes far, Fleury will have a lot more to do with that than Timonen did with the Blackhawks.
Sure. We just wanted to get the poor guy a cup.
I mean, I'm just saying that I personally was okay with that trade because won a cup.
Honestly, if you win a Stanley Cup, every trade is a good trade. Like if you win the Stanley Cup, nothing else matters because that's why you're doing this.
And I'm glad. I just wish the condition had been get to the second round because I think they can beat the Blues. I think Minnesota is a better team than the Blues, and that's who their current matchup is. If they get at least a pretty good performance in net, I think they're a better team up and down the lineup.
But you don't sound as optimistic about them beating what we assume would be Colorado in the second round.
Yeah.
So now we all got to cheer for a made-up team with a fake name.
Great. I'm absolutely not. I'm sorry. I don't care if it helps the Hawks draft status. I cannot bring myself to cheer for the Minnesota Wild. I still can't believe they're actually good. They have an exciting player. I just want to say,
all the shots I'm taking at Toronto today, they deserve them after unveiling those Justin Bieber jerseys. Nothing against Justin Bieber. I don't care about him, but those jerseys are whack.
They're the radish patch of jerseys. Yeah. Is what they
say. Style whack.
Me, I'm rad as fuck.
There you go. You got the reference.
Yeah, that dude on Twitter, that guy's great. That video is awesome.
Wow. we're covering a lot of ground this evening. I think we wrapped up all the Marc-Andre Fleury talk. The other trade that I really don't have anything else to say was Ryan Carpenter to the Flames for, I believe it was a fifth round pick. Was that correct?
My notepad out for this one.
Yeah. A 2024 fifth round pick. I liked Ryan Carpenter. I liked him. He was good when the Hawks signed him. He was a good fourth liner, did a lot of things well, great on the penalty kill. No issues with anything that happened, anything with him while he played here, and best of luck in Calgary. I got nothing else. Mill?
Just a quick thing. I think it definitely, you do need those types of fourth line kind of grinder players, penalty killers on a competitive team.
Absolutely.
So hopefully, wish him the best of luck. Good player, solid player for his role. But I saw people in the comments saying stuff about how are they going to replace this guy? And it's like, come on. Like,
Mackenzie Antwell is right there.
That and also, that's kind of a slot that opens up opportunities for people. But also, it's like, hey, like the Hawks are going to be bad for a couple of years. I don't think you guys get that.
Well, I don't.
Unfortunately, it's the truth of the reality.
Shay or Betsy, do either one of you have any other Ryan Carpenter thoughts?
Blackhawks like to sell off first year Vegas Golden Knights. This year,
huh? Oh, I thought we didn't want to talk about Vegas today.
That's a pattern. two of the three guys were fucking first year Golden Knights.
All right,
that's a pattern.
I thought two is a trend, three is a pattern, isn't that
two golden?
It's a trend.
Two ex Golden Knights and a Blackhawks draft pick walk into a bar on trade deadline day.
They signed him when he's about to be a high school teacher.
I was referencing
that was amazing. That was amazing ROI.
Referencing
they Hagel. They signed a
Hagel. Yes. Yes.
That was amazing ROI. He signed as a undrafted free agent.
Wasn't Hagel taken in the sixth round?
Sixth round by Buffalo and never signed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was drafted. Oh, Buffalo. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. Huh.
So there was Shay. Bessie, did you have anything else to add on the Ryan Carpenter trade?
No, I liked Carpenter. Good luck. I would rather the Flames do. I like the Flames team, so I hope they do well.
The Flames are an enjoyable team this year. I think they
shows what good coaching
do. Yeah, they got Lucic and Zadora.
Yeah, no. Well, just if you go to the Flames prior to Suter, like if you go look at their blogs and stuff like that, they hate their team. They hate all their players. Everybody sucks. A good coach turned that entire team around practically. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously,
not even
some savvy things, but like a good coach.
Yeah. And not even in like a Daryl Sutter, like it's 2-1 all the time way. And like they score a lot.
Yeah. Right? He adapted his playing, like how he coaches to fit his roster player, which I think is great because he was not doing that with the Kings later like he wasn't doing it very well, but when he got to the Flames, he did a good job. And so you're just like, I wish we had something like that.
I have to retract all the nice things I said about Calgary, though, because I forgot they had Milan Lucic. So sorry.
Hey, respect my countrymen.
Absolutely not. I would respect other countrymen of yours, like Dusan Tadic, but not Milan Lucic. I'm sorry. I cannot.
Fair enough. Good people, though, his family. Anyways, I just want to say I was today years old when I learned that Brandon Hagel was going to be a teacher. And if I was in high school and he walked in to be my teacher, I'd be like, this fucking guy looks like Mitchell Guzin from Airborne. There's no way he's serious. Now, I know I'm dating myself with that reference, but go look it up and you guys will understand. Dave might get it.
No, sorry.
That's 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm almost said I'm too old for that reference, but yeah.
That hockey's in that movie.
Oh, there's hockey in the movie. I should have.
Yeah, Seth Green gets his ass kicked in that movie. Anyways,
is that the hockey part?
Some of it.
Okay. Trying to think if there was any other bullet points, but no, I think I ran out of things because Seth Green's name came up, so I know we're starting to teeter off the rails. So let me see if I can pull this back ever so slightly onto it before we completely disembark. The other interesting thing related to the Blackhawks and the trade deadline were trades that did not happen, namely that Dylan Strome did not get traded, Dominic Kubalik did not get traded, Erik Gustafsson did not get traded, Calvin DeHaan did not get traded, and I think it was Scott Powers from The Athletic mentioned somewhere, either on Twitter or in the comments of one of their articles, that there just wasn't interest in any of those players from the league or wasn't enough interest to garner a trade, which I guess I was a little surprised by, especially with DeHaan. Shay, what about you? What was your reaction to all that?
Yeah, there were fourths and fifths flying around all day on trade deadline day. They couldn't catch a stray fifth for Calvin DeHaan. That's a little wild. But the one that surprises me is, like, there wasn't interest in Dominic Kubalik. Like, yeah, sure, his shooting percentage is low and he's not producing at volume. But maybe, like, put him in a better position with an actual head coach and see what he can do. He hasn't had a head coach in his NHL career. Like, his coaches have been Carlton and King. He has not had an NHL head coach his entire fucking career. Like, he scored 30 goals under Jeremy Colleton. You don't think that guy can do something if you put him in a position to succeed and trade for like a third? Maybe the Blackhawks might trade Big Gulick for a third at this point. Like, come on.
What was their asking price? Apparently
I'm more surprised they couldn't move DeHaan.
Yeah,
there were a lot of defensive movement around that. I think Jeremy Lauzon probably got the DeHaan trade,
but I'm just saying, like, what could they possibly, like, you know, DeHaan, like, what, he can't command that big of a trade. So it's like you couldn't find a partner for him.
I wonder the Blackhawks had only one more trade that they could retain on. And I wonder if they were trying to figure out, like, they were trying to work the angle for, because I can understand nobody wanting Kubalik at his current price, you know, for a rental, like, if they just wanted to power with him. Or if, for DeHaan, same thing, that you don't want him at his full price. Like, almost every defender that got traded at 50%, I swear. So I wonder if that played into it. Like, they were trying to, like, figure out how to do it with as much, like, as little retaining as possible, and it just didn't work out. But I think the little interest is weird, because prior to that, they heard there was a decent amount of interest. You know, they were like, five teams in on DeHaan at one point, and all of them picked up a defenseman. So, and some of them worse defensemen than him.
Well, and after the I can never say, I want to keep calling him Chariot, but Ben Chiarot, how do you say his name?
Chiarot.
There you go.
That Ben Chiarot.
When he got traded on, I think he got traded on Friday, and I saw the haul. I'm like, all right, well, I mean, I don't think Calvin DeHaan will get that, but it also at least makes me intrigued by what kind of return he would ultimately get, and then not to get any return at all because of an apparent lack of interest. Like, I know DeHaan's been hurt a lot, but that was weird. I think DeHaan for me was the biggest surprise, and then Kubalik's probably second. And like, to Shay's point about, you know, Kubalik did have a 30 goal season. I can't believe that I'm surprised that there wasn't one GM out there with the ego to be like, oh yeah, I can get that 30 goal scorer out of him again.
And he did have two back-to-back, like, above 0.6 PPG, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
that's nothing to sniff at. This is the first season that he's had low points. So it's like their young players always have in their first like 3 years. Now you know, Kubelik's a little bit older than like a typical ELC, but like a lot of times they have like a low season or two. McKinnon is a perfect example of a player who had two really good seasons and then dropped really far in his third for him. And that's the reason his deal is such a sweetheart is because one of those seasons he didn't do as well. So he didn't get as high a thing. And of course that worked out really well for the Avalanche, but, and I'm not comparing Kubelik.
I was just about to jump in and say, Betsy, so what you're telling me is Dominic Kubelik is Nathan McKinnon. That's all.
I'm saying,
who's now Cyclops from X-Men.
It's the same argument that I used for DeBrincat when he was going through his, what people were calling a slump, which was still really good. I was like, he went down, but that's so normal for young players to have like that dip that just wait. And then of course people waited and it was great. I think Kubelik is one of those players that could do the same thing. I don't know if he'll be as good as he was the last 2 years or score 30 goals again, but I doubt he is a 0.3 player now. Mm-hmm. I bet he's like around a 0.45 or a 0.5 normally.
And I also, it was 2 years ago. So my memory might be slightly fuzzy on this point, but wasn't Kubelik pretty good in the postseason in the bubble in 2020?
Obviously, he was good for one game.
Okay.
He scored five of his 8 points in one game.
That's right.
He had
a hat trick. That's right.
Right. Yeah. He was excellent and won the Blackhawks one of those games against Edmonton.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, you know, that's better. Man, than
so we all died on that. We all died on that Kubelik Gaudette thing. It just went south both ways.
Yes. Yes, it really did, didn't it? Man.
What do you think is going to happen with Kubelik? Do you think they'll try to find a trade partner in the offseason, or do you think they'll try to give him like a deal like the Bruins just did to DeBrusk that was like a long enough deal that it kept the cap hip down, but it's still like a 3-year deal. So it's like,
He's a restricted free agent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think the Hawks can trade him like trade the rights to negotiate with him. If they couldn't trade him away at the deadline, I have a hard time believing anybody would trade for him now, unless it was for like a Z level prospect.
I ask because prior to this, like Anaheim was interested in him, and Anaheim's not a playoff team. So there's no rush for them to try to get him now, but they might throw like a third at him as a chance for their team that they're rebuilding. And they feel like maybe they're a little bit farther along than the Blackhawks are. So,
yeah. Well, I guess I would not be, I think I feel the same way about Kubelik that I do about Dylan Strome, in that they do have to field an NHL roster next season, regardless of what stage of the rebuild they are in. And if you can bring Kubelik back, and Dylan Strome follows under this category as well. Well, Strome's a little different because he's younger. Maybe he has a really breakout next season, and then maybe he's a long-term piece. Or maybe he's just good enough that at the trade deadline in 2023, you can flip Kubelik or Strome for picks and or prospects or what have you. So it wouldn't – and it's not like there's any other four – there's, you know, Lucas Reichel's probably going to be on the NHL team next season. Kurashev's already at the NHL. I don't know how many other – young forward prospects the Blackhawks have that are begging for ice time that either
Barrett.
I talked about this in the comments today about Strome. I said to somebody who asked, I said, you know, they might keep him around on like, not like a prove it deal, but more like a get his value up type of deal.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they want to keep him, they can, or if they say, hey, here's a really good trade, because I think with no more Colleton and no more Bowman, they're going to say, look, like to whoever is coaching them, it doesn't matter right now. Put these guys where they can succeed and get the most out of them. So in this case, Strome with Kat and Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And then let him rip it off and score and whatever. And then they might say, hey, we like Dylan Strome. Let's keep him around. He's not that old and not that expensive. Or they might say, hey, somebody's offering a bunch for him. So it's really a case of that with Kubelik, I think, as well. Keep him around, see what he could do with him, and then whatever.
I'm going to mention really quickly, it does matter who's coaching them, clearly, because you actually have to have people who want to play the kids. And again, Derek King, # hates the kids.
Well, I meant like if they have some instruction that they're going to have to listen to, it doesn't matter.
And I think another side of that, Shay, I agree with you completely that King has not always played the kids. if they're now that Davidson is the full-time GM, and if you take off the interim tag of King next season, like the interim tag is already off Davidson. But the idea here is that if you get a directive from up top that says you're the head coach, but we're in a rebuild, so play the kids now. Because I don't think
I still was don't want but, him.
But they're going to get to the point.
The kids.
No,
but here's the thing: they're going to get to a point where they only have kids or guys to fill roster spaces, and that's not going to make a huge difference. Like, think about when Denny Savard was their coach.
Yeah,
which was arguably much worse than Derek King. It was Yaha time 24/7. Yeah. Duncan Keith was playing up with the goddamn forwards.
How do we keep saying that we want to see like players like Dylan Strome under an actual head coach and then say like, yeah, let's take the interim time?
Well, I'm not saying that they should do that. I'm just saying
that's the scenario now.
More of a hypothetical, yeah. Like if
okay, I'm like already now I'm already down on Davidson. I don't trust him. That would make me trust him less.
That's fair. Go ahead, Betsy.
I think fully they should look for a head coach. I don't think there should be any, like a legit coach because.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think like there are some players that I legit, not Strome really, but like Kurashev. What is he? We all think he's got great potential, but I think he's been misplayed this season and it feels like he's taken a step back, but is that really him or is it Derek King? I would love to see what like a Radish does under somebody who knows what he's doing. And anybody that they bring up, like Lucas Reichel, I don't want him playing. Which game did he play like less than 10 minutes in? Like his last one?
He played like 8:30, I think.
I don't ever want a situation where that happens unless Reichel like really shits the bed or something. I want a coach that not only is going to play kids, but knows how to play them.
Yeah.
And is a good NHL coach, knows how to do that. I wish they hadn't gotten rid of, I think Granato would have been good for this, but like go out and find a coach that you think could do well in the NHL, but also has experience with younger players and try to get that. But if they just stick with King, I'll be upset about that. And
I think my only caveat I was offering is that there may not have been a directive from the top to play the kids earlier this season when King took over. Obviously now starting right now and into next season and beyond, obviously development is the number one thing with this team. So
that's kind of where I was going is I think that they said, hey, get this fucking team to 500 because they will start it off so poorly.
Yeah. Get this team to win more than one out of 11. Like it did the first month.
And I'm not like a King guy, but I just think next year is going to be so like, they're going to be bad. I think it's going to, the next year will be like, okay, let's get pieces here.
I guess maybe. King has said some comments that make me concerned about how he views children, the younger players.
They are children.
Well, they are children.
Are they better than the way that Betsy views children, who we know noted children hater?
Okay, just the ones that are damp. Okay, I'm fine with other
children. Well, the hockey players sweat a lot. They get pretty damp.
Okay, so they're children too. Okay, so big man babies, right? There was a comment he said about like why somebody asked him why I don't even remember who it was, who was playing and why haven't we seen more of like some of the AHL guys that aren't, you know.
Or even that like Mitchell and Bodan.
And fucking King said something like, well, they're not playing as good as some of these guys. And I was like, excuse you, sir? It was Galvis they were comparing to. Because Mitchell is by far the best defenseman in Rockford. If you pay attention to the game, there's like, I totally understand the promise you see in Phillips and the promise you see in Galvis and many others. But hands down, if you are saying that Mitchell is not the best one playing in Rockford, you are lying. And your eyes are lying to you or something. Like, I can understand if you don't think that will translate to the NHL, but don't like say something that's factually incorrect
directly to my face. I just want to go out on and say I'm not like defending King. I just think that they're going to reassess their entire organizational structure of systems. Mm-hmm. And because if you do this correctly, you go through every rank and you have a manual and you go, this is how we're going to fucking play hockey. you're all going to learn this way, the right way. You're not going to develop bad habits. And when you come up, you will be able to slide in and know what you're doing, even if it takes you time to adjust to game speed. The problem is, like, Jeremy Colleton was doing one thing in Rockford. Hugh's doing something else. And then he brings his shit up here and nobody knows what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
And it's hard for young guys, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like,
it was convenient when you had, you know, Keith Seabrook, Hammer and Oduya for three seasons, and you didn't really have to bring up any other defensemen, but, you know,
it's, well, and Q sheltered them who he did.
Yeah. And but they're just like, to your overall point though, like, they're in a completely different situation right now. And you're right. Like, there needs to be levels of continuity from the AHL and between the AHL and the NHL, because there's a lot of work to do here.
So, that's and I'm not disagreeing with what you guys are saying. I just think that they have to really, like, they have, like Dave said, there's a huge mess here, and they have to kind of start from ground zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I just think ground zero, right? Getting a legitimate coach.
Yes. Yeah. No. I
even if you're trying to lose, try and lose in style.
Well, right, but
that
again,
wasn't
like
losing, that was losing with style.
Again, like, it's hard for me to say, because they might say this is the system we're going to play and we want this coach, or this coach, because this other guy who's available right now doesn't do it. I don't know. I can't speak for them. I'm just looking at this from a outsider perspective of, like, I'm wondering which direction this is going to go stylistically.
Yeah, and I think, like, we will have time to have these discussions later, because I'm related to the big picture of how the next few years should unfold, because, like, I still, like, it depends on, you know, I kind of wrote about this today at the website. It was just, you know, what do you do with Taves? What do you do with Kane? What do you do? Like, Seth Jones probably isn't going anywhere. Is Alex DeBrincat going to be the guy for the next decade? You know, all these questions about the team. And then the other thing is, like, you've got guys that we've mentioned already, like Galvis and Ian Mitchell and Isaac Phillips. And, you know, Kurashev's here already. Reichel be
signed Vlasic.
Like, you have Vlasic just got signed and made his debut. Like, it's not like the entire thing is 2 or 3 years away. Like, some of these guys are here now and will be here next season. So, like, the idea of playing so awful next season, like, you also hope some of these young guys develop too at the same time. And that's the tightrope you have to walk in, you know, a long-term rebuild and not abandoning the plan, but while also developing players in the short term. So that'll be something we have to watch for the next month of this, or the final month of the season that's coming up, and then into the future down the road. But I don't have any other thoughts. I think we covered everything. Do we miss anything? Any other trade deadline thoughts? Other than laughing at the whole saga with the Evgeny Dadonov trade.
I think Tampa did really good, and Pittsburgh got a nice player in Rickard Rakell.
I cannot wait for the Tampa and Florida series that I assume is coming in the second round.
Yeah, Claude Giroux, baby.
You think Rakell was a good pickup? I don't think he's
good. Boston. I think Boston made a better trade there. Hampus Lindholm is good.
Well, here's one thing they have that the Boston doesn't have, and a guy named Mike Sullivan.
That's true.
And to your guys' point about coaching,
Cassidy's
pretty good.
He's pretty good, but I mean,
the problem is Boston didn't pick up they're still, like, weak down the center in a way that I don't think their wingers can compensate, like, say 2013 or 2010 Blackhawks did.
I have a hard time listening to anything related to Boston, because even if they get Toronto in the first round and beat them again hilariously, they're going to have to get through either Florida or Tampa in either the first or second round, or maybe both in order. And I just don't see Florida or Tampa losing to that team.
I'll just give my final thing is, I agree with what Shay and Betsy are saying about don't have a klutz of a coach to develop players, like, get somebody who's good. But also, I think they need more of a core before they can be real seriously good. Like, I like Ian Mitchell, but he's not Brent Seabrook or Duncan.
Yeah, I just don't think they can evaluate any of the players until they have a legitimate coach playing them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hard to say. We knew what 7-2 were.
Did we? Do you remember Keith?
I mean, I was at every game, and people were like, we can't wait till this fucking guy comes up.
Oh man, I don't. That's such a weird.
I know, and I didn't know shit since I was a kid. But people were going crazy.
Yeah, because he was really like when he was pretty wild his first few seasons with the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
There were
that's what I was saying. He was pinching in and stuff, but he could move.
Yes, but like I mean, that's Ian Mitchell. Like I mean, I'm just like there are players that have like good movement. Like why? Do you know a player that I think everybody's going to be really excited for and everybody should go? It was funny because. I can't remember who tweeted it, but they were like, we should be talking more about him. And I was like, welcome to my TED Talk and let me talk about Wyatt Kaiser here and why he's my favorite defensive player. He reminds me, his movements remind me of Keith a lot.
I should just reassess by saying,
but a better.
I know we're out of time, but Steve Brook had more hype. I should reassess that. But if you guys remember in the two-line pass era, how slow the league was, Duncan Keith looked like a bullet. So that's all I'm saying. People were like, damn, like, okay.
Yeah.
That better than fucking Jim Vandermeer or whatever.
It was on the defensive side that people were a little like, Jim what's Vandermeer happening?
Alone. I liked
Jim Vandermeer, but I mean, couldn't move like the Flash.
Yeah, well, no one can move like Duncan. Few players can move like Duncan Keith could.
Yeah, during that era.
Well, more now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's during that era.
Yeah, very good point.
Fucking Cam Barker, Kate drafted. Yeah, okay. Fuck,
I feel like Mills like walking out of the room just yelling MF and everything as he walks. Like the guy leaving the pub.
I'm so angry right now, Dave.
Well, no, I've got bad news for you for the next few years. Like I remember reading somebody either on Twitter or comments section somewhere was like already done with Kyle Davidson because of the Brandon Hagel trade. I'm like,
you
got a rough few years ahead of you. If
I'm going to get kicked out on Monday. I'm going to throw my jersey on the ice.
He's got Davidson's got a 5-year plan. And like Tim Murray, he's going to actually get to fulfill his 5-year plan.
Not like the guy in Hooters and Big Daddy.
Do we know it's a 5-year plan? What is it? Don't die.
Yeah. All right.
If you believe Friedman's reporting, like every GM comes in with a 5-year plan.
Yeah. It's just, I think the interesting thing will be to see if they think the rebuild is like a 5-year plan or if it's like 2 or 3 or how that works. And I think we'll get a little bit more of a clue of that based off what happens this summer with some of the.
And they better hope it's a 3-year deal with Seth Jones's contract.
Yeah. You know what? Let's cross that bridge.
And I say that as somebody who I always have to caveat now as a reformed Seth Jones hater, because I actually really like him this season.
Tried to tell y'all.
All right. Well, he was bad for 2
all
seasons.
Right, all right. It's
the trade was bad. The contract's bad.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Those are still true.
Still true. But
also he's played pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. All those things can be true. Fine. All at the same time.
Okay.
All right. I'm not reformed. Well,
you know what? We're going to have
I'll never be reformed on Seth Jones.
We've got 9 years to yell about Seth Jones. So let's save it for like year 2 or 3 at least. But that's going to do it for this episode of Musings on Madison. Thank you so much for listening. And I forgot to do this at the top. Thank you so much, Betsy, Shay, and Mill, for holding down the fort while I was gallivanting over in the UK, traveling 4,000 miles to watch my chosen football club play its worst fucking game of the season. I cannot escape poor performances from my sports teams, either in this country or in England. So that's just the way life is going to be for me, I guess. But thank you again to the three of you for holding down the fort. Thank you to everyone who listened to this episode. You can find all our stuff at secondcityhockey.com. Shay is at Shepherd Price on Twitter. Mill's at Mill182. I'm at DMelt57. Betsy's not on Twitter, but you can find her at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR. We'll be back next week talking about God knows what. Maybe we'll argue about the Seth Jones contract some more next week. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Thank you again for listening to this episode, and we'll talk to you later.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me. Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.